You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Page 94, the Private Eye Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Page 94. My name is Andrew Hunter Murray. Here we are with just one day to go until the Paul Foot Awards, our mini-series, is drawing to a close. What a time it's been. You've heard fantastic stories. You've heard about Crispin Odie. You've heard about child and adolescent mental health services. You've heard about the A96. You've heard all sorts of stuff. And now you're about to hear our final shortlisted entrant. The awards are tomorrow night. It is no exaggeration to say that lots of people are very excited about it. Here is shortlistee number 6. Take it away.
My name's Rebecca Thomas and I'm health correspondent for The Independent.
And Rebecca, what is the story that's brought you to the Paul Foot Awards this year?
Essentially, it's a campaign focused on systemic safety issues within the mental health care system.
And what was the first, if you like, big story that you worked on in this campaign?
It was an expose on a privately run group of mental health hospitals, children's mental health hospitals, because patients were coming forward talking about their really awful experiences there. And I was in contact with another journalist at Sky News who was familiar with the service, and we combined forces and found dozens of patients in the end sharing really horrific stories.
So what was happening at these private hospitals?
Various things. So, for example, treatments such as immediately restraining children. You've got young girls being restrained by 5 or 6 male nurses, bruised and really injured throughout these restraints. And then you have a lack of staffing in general. At one of these hospitals, currently a police investigation into a young girl's death within one of the units.
That's not Huntercombe, is it?
That is Huntercombe.
Okay. Yes. And that's part of this chain of hospitals owned by the Active Care Group. Is that right?
They're now owned by the Active Care Group. Yeah. They were previously owned by Four Seasons at one point, which...
Okay. And you said that lots of patients had stories that they wanted to tell and get out there. Was that something that evolved naturally once you'd started reporting on this? More people wanted to let you know that they had had a similarly awful experience at these hospitals?
Yes, essentially. So what, by the nature of my work, because I've done a lot of mental health stories, a number of patients had come forward about these services already. And then you get connected with the campaign groups who speak to a lot of patients, and they start to come forward, and it's a really a snowball effect. And we published our first piece, and then that led to dozens more coming forward, and we ended up with speaking to over 50 patients.
Across 2 decades of
basically shabby care being yes. given out. And I think, am I right in saying that there's now a large lawsuit being brought against the Active Care Group?
There are, yes, there are. Well, there are more than 50 clinical negligence claims in the works.
Wow.
Against the various hospitals.
So that's one aspect of the campaign, but you mentioned there are lots of others as well. Can you tell me about Nicholas?
Yes. So one story which I think was particularly awful, I found this young man, 27 years old. He had been in and out of the most awful places, just by virtue of him having a learning disability and autism, which care services couldn't cater to. So he'd been in dementia wards, for example, psychiatric units. He doesn't have a mental health problem. And through that decade of his life, he's lost the ability to talk. He's nonverbal now, lost the ability to walk and do things for himself. So he's bedbound.
Am I right in thinking that's the source? He was only sort of able to type from a darkened room, because you obviously need to communicate with your sources about what they've been through. That must have been difficult, I mean, for him and also for you in terms of mm-hmm. getting to the heart of the story.
Yes, it was the first time I'd done an interview of the sort. So at the time he was actively in a psychiatric unit. Obviously there are issues of consent and safeguarding. So at the time we had a staff member who was willing to accompany him during the interview and ensure that he could understand and consent to the questions I was asking. And so we had a Teams call and I asked him questions and he would type back. It was quite striking just to see him from that room, and really heartbreaking.
How do people end up in situations like that?
Well, in Nicholas's case, so for example, sensory reactions can be mistaken for a mental health crisis. And the social care system around him wasn't able to properly cater to his needs. And so that compounding things, you end up in more of a crisis and the system thinks, okay, the only thing we can do with you then is admit you to inpatient units, give you antipsychotic medication, even if it's not appropriate, because that's the way our system is built.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm trying to ask is, who should be going to prison over this? who should be liable? Because you're talking about the system, and it's quite hard to cling on to where exactly the fault lies. Yeah. What has gone wrong that means this appalling injustice is occurring?
Two places. I guess you can look at the actual care being provided. And so he was within private residential homes mm-hmm. where he had horrific care, and staff members treated him so poorly, borderline, but abusive care. So there you have to target the providers, I think, that are providing this care. But there is a huge responsibility, I think, on NHS commissioners, social care commissioners, who are giving that money away, sending patients to these places.
Right.
Partly because there is no other option.
Okay.
Because we starved our NHS-run services and stripped away the bed base. But that's a very long-winded answer of saying I think you need to target the providers, but also very heavily the commissioners, the NHS, the social care, yes. local authorities have a responsibility here.
So it's partly not enough money and partly where it's being spent.
Yes. And I mean, then you can look to government, right? For how long has the mental health care services really been deprioritised, staffed for cash?
Yeah.
Only within the last 5 years has it had more of a boost.
One of the other aspects of your story was about sexual abuse in the mental health care system. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
That was a really difficult story to cover. And I think there is a systemic problem, particularly within mental health inpatient care, because you've got this perfect storm of patients who are very vulnerable and often not believed. And so when it comes to sexual assault allegations, as it is, as a society, we're not good at... We know that those aren't really properly followed through. The follow-through rate, conviction rate for sexual assault in general is poor. But when you take that into a system where patients are vulnerable, not believed as it is, plied with drugs, and within a hospital unit, for example, where a lot of patients can present hypersexual behaviour, there's a power dynamic there with staff and patients, it creates an environment where patients are at risk.
Yeah. And is that across the board? Is it more common in private institutions, or is it present everywhere?
I think, well, from what I've seen and from the investigation, it's present as everywhere. However, that I do think from my other work as well, privately run institutions can be more closed environments because right. you don't have the NHS governance around that, really. Obviously, you have the people, commissioners paying for the care, but there isn't a public sector governance around it.
I mean, all these places must be subject to things like the Care Quality Commission, surely.
Yes, and I think the Care Quality Commission, it's difficult if you go, if you're going in into a announced inspection to a private unit or an NHS hospital unit, what's to say that that unit isn't tidying up and getting extra staff on that day?
Right. Are there unannounced inspections?
There are unannounced inspections as well, okay. but I do think it's a more of a difficult environment in patient psychiatric units, particularly private hospital units. I think it's more of a difficult environment to inspect.
How easy or otherwise have these stories been to report in terms of things like legal checking and other fact checking, things like that?
Very difficult because we're very focused on the patient stories and that's where it's coming from, really. Whistleblowers as well. So you have to spend a long time trying to verify what people are telling you. And in a lot of cases, they will have been patients who may not have kept paper records, paper complaints.
Of course.
You have to protect your whistleblowers. So it was very difficult and took a long time. I mean, the Huntercombe one, it was about 8 months in the working, trying to verify claims and sources. And similar to, and the same with Nicholas and the other stories I've had. It's tough, but it can be done.
And there have been amazing results from your campaign. Could you tell us a little bit about those? I mean, I'm just thinking of the example of Nicholas as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to claim it all. Like, this is all because of us. But with the Huntercombe group, one of the particularly notorious hospitals, the owners were forced to close it last year. That's because CQC came in off the back of our reports. Well, maybe not, but I think they came in coincidentally after we reported. And the NHS stopped sending new patients there, so that becomes financially unviable.
Right.
Hospital closed.
Have to deny all the credit, by the way. You can.
we put pressure. We helped put a lot of pressure on, I think. Yeah. At the time, I think it was very surprising for our health secretary to say thank you to the Independent. But
right.
the health secretary said thank you for our coverage of children's mental health care. And
yeah.
With Nicholas, very happy to say that he has the local authority and have now agreed to fund to put him in a place of his own. So especially refurbished place of his own with a care package, something he's never had.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be out very soon.
Well, it's a fantastic campaign. It's well in the Pulford tradition. Congratulations, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And that's it for this mini-series of interviews with the shortlistees for this year's Pulford Awards. Really hope you've enjoyed it. All of the stories have been absolutely fantastic, and tomorrow we will be doing a special bonus mini episode from the actual awards themselves, where you'll be finding out, as will I, who has won this year's Pulford Award. Thanks so much for listening. Normal service will be resumed shortly. As always, please do subscribe to the magazine. It is what allows the podcast to get made, and it's also very, very reasonably priced. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month, From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.